I believe in my powers.
I believe in my powers.
I believe in the powers of my teammates.
I believe in the power of my teammates.
I trust in my powers.
I trust in my powers.
I trust in the powers of my teammates.
I trust in the powers of my teammates.
Somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way.
Look, okay, just get any blunt objects together, all right? Get cornered, bash them in the head. That seems to work out.
I mean, what are we, a team? No. We're a chemical mixture that makes chaos.
Gentlemen, I'm Agent Carter. I supervise all operations for this division.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few.
And
angels of love!
Welcome to the Skiffy and Fanny Show.
Extending the goodness of Helsinki westward with Michael Lee.
I'm Sean.
I'm Paul.
And obviously we're here with Michael Lee. Welcome, sir.
Hello.
So, Michael, one of the first questions I actually want to start with before we get to, Helsinki and Convergence is I actually want to know, when did you become a sci-fi fantasy fan? What were some of your early memories, the things that inspired you when you were younger?
Well, I'm very much one that... was, for lack of a better word, kind of that initial Star Wars generation. I was 6 years old when the first Star Wars film came out, and life changing is the wrong word. It was definitional in that way. I was, and from there, it expanded in science fiction stuff in every sort of format and stuff from comics reading to novel reading to television shows, the whole gambit. Mm-hmm. Grew up then actively absorbing different things, then became in kind of junior high when Doctor Who first came, one of the times that it got a big launch here in Twin Cities, became a massive fan of that. And then as I entered my teenage years, started to look around to start fan clubs in our local area. Mm-hmm. And that was how 30 years ago, we started, when I was in junior high, started a Doctor Who fan club with some friends that was locally, and started going to conventions and kind of never stopped. So that's the quick.
That's the quick version. Well, excellent. So, Star Wars was for me very much my big thing. I wasn't six when it came out. Unfortunately, I was not yet born. But I it was my big thing too.
Yeah.
And I'm curious for you. Because whenever people say, I watched Star Wars when it first came out, or mm-hmm. Star Wars was my first thing, they usually say things like, oh, it was life-changing, or it made such a big impact on my life. I'm curious, what for you, what made it so impactful on you?
I mean, I think, and to some extent, it's hard to think of it even, like, rationally in that sense, mm-hmm. Because it's the combination of visual, of the visuals that... especially at that time, no one had seen a lot of, and the general public, but certainly kids hadn't, I wouldn't have seen anything like that, but that sort of thing, a very straightforward good and evil appearing story that's a story type that is evergreen. I mean, that sure. They're not secretive about that. That's mm-hmm. that's general type. There'll be people that will tell the same story based on Harry Potter. That sort of thing. That was just my on ramp at that particular time, and then really from there it was. It was one of those things where, because of that, just the kind of the concept of world building in general, which Star Wars was one of those things that was an easy on ramp to kind of get into. Mm-hmm. of all of these different, you know, interconnected stories in some sense that you build on. And that was just exciting. And then, you know, listening to, you know, the vinyl record recording of the story, because of course this was before video,
yeah.
Before video, and so I'm used to, you know, I kind of, part of me wants to, when the Millennium Falcon first boards the Death Star, to flip the record over, you know, to get to the next side, even today, because, you know, I probably watch the original film annually at least. So
Guido shot first, right?
Oh yeah, not just
making
Han shot first.
Well yeah.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, you totally got me wrong.
I caught you. You did catch me.
He was thinking very deeply, and then you try to trip him up, and that's cruel to do to a Star Wars fan.
Yeah.
I feel envious of your experience in some ways, because I think we're just about the same age. Star Wars came out in theaters when I was 6, but
yeah.
I didn't get to see it in theaters. I didn't get to see Empire Strikes Back in theaters because my family wasn't moviegoers. The Return of the Jedi was the second movie I ever saw in a movie theater. So, yeah, I was like 13 before I actually got to see Star Wars on a screen. Now, I had the Death Star toy and some of the figures because I wanted, because they gave me some, but I had no idea what the story of Star Wars was. So I had to make up these stories of what's happening in this, or having not ever seen it, though, having a clue what that was. So going on to, so there's a difference between being a relatively passive fan and absorbing all this stuff and taking it all in and going into fandom itself. So what motivated you to become part of fandom and running clubs, running conventions, working with fans rather than just absorbing the material itself?
I think, I mean, it really was when I started the Doctor Who fan club. And it was very much then being able to recognize that kind of community, you know, that kind of community, for the in a way an obligatory Hamilton reference. It was the I never had a group of friends before, which wasn't quite true. I didn't, but that sort of community, that community nature.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the conventions like Convergence, like Worldcon, and actually, when the first, you know, one of the first weekend conventions I went far away for when I was a teenager, we went to a Doctor Who convention in St. Louis that was fan organized and fan run, and the kind of emotionalness investment that you get with these events.
Mm-hmm.
Really hit me as a kind of community, you know, as a kind of community piece, and so that, and that I think that was kind of what the motivating factor for it for me, was connected up with that sort of community and celebration. And seeing how people can kind of interact in creative ways.
Sure. So Convergence is one you've been involved in for quite a while.
Yeah.
I think you took a break a couple years ago for like a year because you were doing Helsinki stuff, and then you're back.
Sort of, yeah.
I'm not sure how much of a break it was, but
well, for my Convergence, and this is the 18th Convergence. And I've had a variety of different roles, including 6 years on the board of directors, which was a very intensive high profile,
yeah.
Role. And then after 6 years, that's a good run. And it was actually around the time that, what now is Worldcon 75 started up, and so I was like, I want to clear the decks a little bit, rearrange, because there were other things to do as well, and it's good to have rotation on something like this. And then because I had a lesser role last year, but still this year my role is as one of the heads of the invited participants department.
Like us.
Yes. Which is basically to help coordinate with professionals and other people that we want to specifically recruit in and make sure that that are involved in our convention in some fashion, and do that sort of thing. And because of the combination of my previous time on the board, and as well as kind of my social media profile and working on Worldcon 75 and my general my magpie nature in general, I have a pretty relatively wide view on knowing who's out there. So it was a good fit that wasn't too consuming.
Sure. So I don't know if I've ever asked you this, because you're heavily involved in the Helsinki, or, well, it's no longer a bid, it's not a success. The Helsinki Worldcon 75 that you mentioned, and I don't know if I've ever asked how'd you get involved? Like, when did that start?
Oh, well, I mean, it was kind of definitely a long haul. One of the things that was probably the best story was when I got on the board. One of my missions early on kind of ended up being to kind of look around a little bit with other kind of conventions. Convergence by that point was just off its tenth year, just hitting there. And for a variety of reasons was not highly networked with other conventions around the country and around the world, and so when I went, by a matter of kind of just luck, I was in town for work the same weekend as a SMOFCON. And for those of you that kind of, SMOFCON is an annual convention for convention organizers. It's got a relatively strong Worldcon focus, but went to the first one of those, and at that convention, the origins of Convergence and the origins of Aresia in Boston are fairly similar for people that are kind of inside baseball, and so at that convention, it was right when Crystal Huff was a chair of Aresia, or she was either just off or just on. I mean, it was close to that. And because of that, and our overlap, kind of overlapping views of what fandom was, while they're not identical, they overlap. And so at that point in time, we'd met there, and as you just kind of, and actually I went to the SMOFCON before I started going to Worldcon, but one of the times when Emily Arrow was first kind of being convinced to bid Helsinki as a city, I was part of that, kind of group of okay, yeah, you should go do this here, for the original 2015 bid that eventually lost.
Sure.
Giving him some money, and I joined formally the 2015 bid only shortly before the convention, because it was really a sprint. That one was a sprint.
Yeah.
Only less than it was a year before the vote that it really kind of took shape. And then when 2017 kind of started afresh, because it wasn't quite a complete rollover of team. It was there was some new stuff. I joined the board of that bid, and to some extent, you know, and I, at the time I joined, I hadn't been to Helsinki or any of these things, but I was like, oh sure, I'll do this. And actually, because of that, then last year went to Archipelagon in Åland, which is between Sweden and Finland.
Sure.
And then did a Helsinki tour and really felt right at home. So I was like, this is going to be a good place for a unique and different Worldcon.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm a supporter, so duh.
Yeah.
We supported since I was introduced to the concept at LongCon in 2014. It's like,
yeah.
Hey, Worldcon in Finland? Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Yeah. Well, it is going to, I mean, everything I keep hearing, I haven't been to Helsinki either. Not yet.
Yeah.
Next year will be my first time going to Finland altogether.
Well, yeah.
But it is very exciting, all the things I've learned. And I think what's really, really cool about the bid was how many Finnish people were coming over to various conventions here in the States and getting to meet a lot of them.
And as ambassadors and friends.
As ambassadors, like, right.
We're fans too. Come to our city.
Oh, yeah. No, it was really, and that's one of the things that was especially exciting about this, because I've done conventions. I've been involved in, you know, as I said, Convergence for a long time, which is a predominantly local convention committee. You know, people that are Twin Cities based. But then, you know, when we had the staff meeting in Helsinki in May, you know, it was, you know, a dinner, you know, our dinner outing was a couple of American, you know, we had a table that was a couple of Americans, a couple of Finns, a Swede, and someone from Ireland. And so, you know, that sort of international project in that way. But at the same time, you know, the kind of shared love of the genre. I think one of the reasons why I love these conventions and I love this stuff in the way that I do is we have a lot of things in our world about how different everyone is. And that's a strength in that kind of, you know, Star Trek.
Infinite diversity.
The Star Trek, that Star Trek thing. But at the same time, you can use, you know, where and how all the people, you know, how everyone has their own unique backgrounds and all that is really, really a part of it is. But then also you can tie that into how the genre material is something that everyone, you know, that people then share as a common background.
Yeah.
And that's really the neat combo of it.
It's like a bridge.
Yeah.
It's a bridge that brings a lot of different people together.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it provides a way to see different points of view because you're shared, because you've got also the thing that's in common.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so we're going to have to close up pretty quick here.
All right.
The last question I want to ask is, you mentioned some of the stuff that influenced you when you were younger and some of the stuff as you got a little bit older, right?
Yeah.
Like Doctor Who, et cetera. What about now? What are some of the works, whether they're film or books or whatever?
Yeah, what are you consuming now? What jazzes you now? Besides Hamilton, we know Hamilton.
Unfortunately, this has been a really horrible year for me. Because this year, this year, like, my book reading has been down, so I'm like, I have to finish, like, my Hugo novel reading, and get through all that, and like the only TV show I'm current is Steven Universe, which is because it's 10 minutes long. But some of that's really is specific to this, you know, sure. to that kind of to this year. I'm like super. Wes Chu's Time Salvager. I really, really enjoyed that. And I'm as the Doctor Who referenced, you know, time travel stories. you know, when we were just, I was just in the panel with Max Gladstone interviewing Amal Al-Muhtar, and they're co-writing a novella about time traveling super spies as well. And I'm like, I'm there. I was like, sign me up. I subscribe to this.
More awesomeness from Max Gladstone. Man's a machine.
Yeah. Well, both. Yeah. I mean, both well, and like, yeah. especially like a combination. You know, I mean, cause, you know, to use the Steven Universe. You know, this is this will be a from the fusion power. And so I'm very excited by just the one line sentence. I think by that point, for a variety of reasons, I'll be a little bit more caught up. But I think that is one of the hard parts about the convention running side of it in general is at times you're like, how do you, you keep up, you know more and more people, and then you're like, oh, I want to read what they do, and they do, and they do.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's so hard to challenge it.
Yeah, every time I went to an anime convention, there's Fanime in San Jose.
Yeah.
Really wonderful convention. Very big, about 40,000 to 50,000 people, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty large. And every time I go, every year, I'm like, I thought I was reasonably keeping up with the new stuff, and then there'd be people in costumes, and I'm like, I don't know what that's to, and they'd be like, how do you know? Like, this is X, some show.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is going on? And I'm like, yeah, why aren't you, like, following all the fan subs? What are you doing? And I'm like, there's too much anime, I can't watch it all, I don't have time.
Well, and yeah, especially when you're, like, really, really broad, you know, broad area where I'm, you know, from film to books to comics to television series. You know, it's really, really challenging to keep up with
the new shiny.
With the new shiny.
You gotta find the shiny that you like the best.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a tough but glorious thing.
It is.
In a way, it is, actually, when you think about it, it's kind of a good thing.
Yeah, I'd rather have too much stuff than not enough.
Yeah.
It's very satisfying knowing there's more good things, you know,
than I can ever consume in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and somehow people keep making even more.
Yeah, somehow they do it.
Yeah, and
it's wonderful.
So.
and your convention running is part of those good things.
Yeah. So, well, thank you so much, Mike, for talking to us about, you know, running conventions and how you became a fan. It's wonderful to hear from you.
All right.
And, folks, if you are not already, if you're not going to Convergence, you should.
It's my home convention.
It is Paul's home convention. And also, you should be registering for Worldcon 75 in Helsinki.
Yes.
Please, because it's going to be
It's going to be glorious. It really, and the city is lovely.
My camera's looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Paul is wringing his hands.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, on that note, everybody, awkward ending. And scene.
Our intro and outro music comes from Nocturnia by Psychedelic Pedestrian. You can find out more about them on freemusicarchive.org, including the full version of the song. We obviously made some edits to the song, including sound effects and, of course, shortening the length. You can also support us by going to patreon.com/skiffyandfanty. If you'd like to send us a suggestion, you can do so at skiffyandfanty@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, skiffyandfanty.com, and check out the little suggested topic form at the top there. You can also just send us emails. You can also find us on Twitter at skiffyandfanty or on Facebook at The Skiffy and Fanty Show. Just search for us on there. Thanks for listening, and we hope to see you next time.